Choose for Health. The Chewable Dietary Supplement presents To Your Good Health, hosted by Dr. David Friedman and Melanie Cole.
Americans spend $12 billion every year on coffee. With so much conflicting information on whether that morning cup of Joe is helpful or harmful, we have an expert joining us today to talk about this topic and more. He's an award-winning health journalist that's been featured on CNN, PBS, and WebMD. Welcome to the show, author of Coffee is Good for You, Dr. Robert Davis. Here's Dr. David Friedman.
Dr. Davis.
Hello.
Yeah, I enjoyed your book. I'll tell you what I liked about it is each chapter offers what I really consider a lie detector test for diet and nutrition with true, false, and inclusive meters there. So I like that. One topic you review is the stigma that coffee is not healthy. Share with us why it's gotten such a bad rap and the truth behind the benefits of our morning java.
First, I have to tell you, I say this as a non-coffee drinker, so I have no personal bias here. I don't have stock in
That's good to know.
Starbucks or anything else. But in fact, it is true, as you said, that the evidence suggests that coffee is not harmful and may even have benefits. And I base that on looking at all the studies, which I did in this book for a number of topics. But what I found looking at all the evidence for coffee is that a number of studies have linked coffee to a lower risk of heart disease, a lower risk of certain cancers, a lower risk of diabetes, a lower risk of Parkinson's disease even. And so I think if folks are concerned about drinking coffee, as some people have sort of a nagging concern about maybe this is bad for me, I think my conclusion is that probably not a reason to be very concerned, and in fact there may be some benefits. The biggest concern, though, should be if you add stuff to the coffee, because
right.
It's much the biggest problem is, of course, weight gain if you go to Starbucks a few times a day and get beverages that have a few hundred calories. That is a concern. But just black coffee has 2 calories. Per cup, and so I think that folks can feel reassured about that.
Right, but if you go get a Java Mocha Latte with caramel, you're looking at over 500 calories. So
absolutely,
it adds quite a bit.
That is a concern. That's a problem.
That makes sense. You know, coffee has phytonutrients, antioxidants, so yeah, it makes sense that it would be good for you. One thing that your book covers, you know, you have an array of topics about diet and nutrition, and one that caught my interest, you go against what most health experts have been telling us, that high fructose corn syrup is not worse than sugar. That's a bombshell, Doc. Share with us, why is that?
Well, looking at all the evidence, and what I tried to do in the book was to look at it without any spin, without any preconceived
right.
Notions or agendas. And what I found looking at the evidence is that, is that certainly any sugar in any form, whether it's high fructose corn syrup or sucrose, which is table sugar, or any other form, is something that we want to minimize in our diets. There's no question about that. But I think
right.
this notion that's been out there that high fructose corn syrup is uniquely villainous, that it's something that's worse for our waistlines or worse for our health. If you look at all the evidence in humans, there's not really the evidence there to support that. Now, that's not to say that it's okay to eat a lot of sugar, but
right.
it is to say that that it probably doesn't deserve to be singled out the way that it has been.
So could sugar be the lesser of the two evils?
I don't think that's necessarily true either. I think what the evidence suggests is that sugar in any form, and we're talking about, and often sugar takes on these sort of hidden names,
yeah.
you know, molasses or fruit juice concentrate, things like that. But what the evidence that I reviewed suggests is that sugar in any form, particularly in larger amounts, in the amounts that we consume in our diets typically, can have harmful effects. But I think to say that sugar is better or worse, the evidence is not there to suggest that.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing because you bring up stuff in your book how, you know, we're constantly hearing myths out there and we believe them, and often it's not that we believe them from what we've been told. It's from the New York Times or the USA Today. One of the biggest flip-flop media advices I remember was butter versus margarine. First, the media says dangers about butter, need to switch to margarine, then they switched it on us and said butter's better than margarine. What does your lie detector test tell us?
Well, again, I mean, let me just say, first of all, one of the reasons for those kinds of flip-flops is the problem is the way that nutrition information is often presented to us is in sort of according to individual studies. And as I say in the book, it's sort of like taking a jigsaw puzzle and looking at one piece of the puzzle and trying to figure out what the whole puzzle shows, what the whole picture is, and you can't do that. And so likewise with scientific studies, the media will find the latest study finds margarine is better for you or butter is better for you. But in fact, one study in science doesn't allow us to draw any conclusions. We have to look at all the studies, what scientists call the totality of the evidence,
mm-hmm.
and that's what I've tried to do, and that's one of the reasons it's often so confusing, because we see science or nutrition information one piece at a time. And so if you look at all the pieces about margarine and butter, what you find is that it depends on the type of margarine. So that
right.
Stick margarines, for example, have what's called trans fat, partially hydrogenated oils. And science suggest that those are actually bad for us, perhaps even worse for us than saturated fat, which is what butter has. And so what we find is that you need to look at the type of oil, the type of fat that's in the margarine or butter. But in general, my advice and what I found is better not to use either, that better to use other kinds of spreads and to avoid both. Certainly, though, if you have to make a choice, the most important thing is to look for margarines that do not have trans fats, partially hydrogenated oils in them.
Right. One thing you use is coconut oil, which I use. You know, that's very creamy like butter, and you can put that on toast and so forth that I like. But one thing you bring up is the you know, the study out there that's saying butter's great. Another thing I guess you'd have to do is see if there's a conflict of interest. If that study you're reading was paid for by the American Dairy Association, you might want to go, is there a little conflict here? So like
very
you mentioned,
point.
It's good to be impartial, I believe, as well. So that's great.
Very one important thing, point, because... I spent a lot of time looking at studies and looking at the source of those studies and trying to rely most heavily on studies that were funded by neutral entities. That's a very important point.
Exactly. One chapter explores the common belief that bottled water is safer than tap water. Of course, boy, everybody's drinking their bottled water. Is that true or false?
Well, certainly bottled water is more convenient, and there's a reason to drink that. And sometimes the taste is better. Some municipalities, the water it has a funny smell or taste. But in general, these bottled water manufacturers do is to take their water from the tap. So the bottled water that you're paying money for could have come from the tap in Wichita, and they run it through a filtration process. But the water itself is perfectly fine to begin with from the tap. So what I found is the tap water in most communities is perfectly safe, and in fact, tap water has to undergo sort of more government regulation than bottled water does. And so certainly there's some exceptions to that, some communities that have problems with their water, but you do get a report. You're supposed to get a report from the government about the quality of your water. And in most cases, tap water, at least from a health standpoint, is very safe.
So you'd recommend get a filter from your house on your tap and just fill up the container, bring it to work with you.
I mean, certainly better for the environment and can be less expensive.
Exactly. What are some of the misconceptions that you've heard regarding diet, like, for example, the carbs, good or bad for us? Which one do you find?
Well, what I find is that, for example, carbs have been singled out as being particularly, again, villainous when it comes to weight gain, that, you know, we have the Atkins diet, other diets that say the carbs are the big enemy and you should avoid carbs. I think that diets like that, looking at the evidence, oversimplify reality, that that weight loss is generally about calories in and calories out. Obviously, there's some nuances there, but to sort of single out carbs and say if you avoid carbs entirely, that's the best way to lose weight, what the evidence shows, and there have been a number of trials that compared head-to-head different kinds of diets, you know, low-fat versus low-carb versus low-calorie, and what these diets, these studies show over and over and over is that in the short term, perhaps you can lose a little more weight on a low-carb diet. But in the long run, which is really what matters because most people, unfortunately, gain the weight back, over the long run, 6 months, a year, or longer, there's really no difference between these diets. And so I think the key there is whatever works for you. It's the diet that you can stick with long-term, the eating plan you could stick with long-term that's going to be most effective for you in being able to take off weight and keep it off.
That makes sense. One quick one I saw that salt, sea salt or regular salt, which is the healthier?
Sea salt has been marketed as being more healthful, but what the evidence shows is there's not necessarily a difference when it comes to health, that sea salt contains the same amount of sodium, which is the concern in salt, as table salt. And so certainly there may be some advantages from taste from a standpoint or texture standpoint, so it's perfectly fine to use it. But if you're buying sea salt because you think it's more healthful, that's not true.
So to learn more about Dr. Davis and his new book, Coffee is Good for You, visit coffeeisgoodforyoubook.com and make sure you sign up for our newsletter because Dr. Davis is giving a lucky listener a free copy of his book. This is great information and what a perfect way to listen to this show. And don't go away. We'll have more healthful tips from Dr. Davis after this short commercial break on To Your Good Health Radio. Remember, you can listen anytime on demand or on the go to yourgoodhealthradio.com. Stay tuned. There's more coming up.